What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater here, the club CEO. We have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one platform for DJs to build your career online. Today, we have DJ Menu on the show. DJ Menu, can you please introduce yourself and tell the people who you are, where you're from?
Absolutely. DJ Menu, M-E-N-Y-U, from the boogie down South Bronx, New York City. Be DJing for a hot minute, so your mind's going to be blown in a minute.
Awesome. No, we're super excited to hear your story on the My DJ Story podcast. This is a podcast where people get to hear how you got started as a DJ and you tell us about your journey in the industry. I would love for you to get us started and just tell us, you know, at what age did you start DJing and what inspired you to start, you know, the trade?
Man, my first party was at 14 years old. And, you know, I was popular from a block to block radius because that's how it was back in the days, you know, so this was, y'all gotta know my age. This was 1989. So this was right with the rise of hip hop, especially in the South Bronx, where it's at. And I used to DJ block parties. So they shut down the whole block and DJ from 12 noon to 9:30 at night. And it was definitely a blessing, man. You know what I'm saying? DJing with wax, with vinyl, spinning the pioneers, being inspired by Grandmaster DXT, you know, when he dropped the scratch for Rocket by Herbie Hancock. And that's where it started, man. So 14 years old in the boogie down. That was definitely where it started, you know?
Nice, man. So you did your first party at 14. Like, how did you, you know, get the equipment? Did you borrow some equipment? How did you learn? Did you just jump right on? Did you have a teacher? Tell me a little bit about the process of getting started.
So the beautiful thing about music is that there are always ways to learn the craft, right? So it started off from recording songs, radio. And at the time, there was only hip hop at 98.7 KISS and 107.5 WBLS. So we learned how to DJ just with the pause record. You know, so for you youngins, man, I'm schooling y'all right now. This is hip hop DJ 101. So we learned how to cut simply with a pause. You know what I'm saying? And then from there, I had two older brothers. So when they used to go to parties, my pops would go for security. Apostles Brolic and my mom would go to cook, both would rest in peace. And I was the youngest, so I used to go to the parties too. So that's how I learned. So I used to study a homie who was spinning, and we knew him because he was the DJ from the neighborhood, and he used to let me observe him. So I would actually get on stage, little 10-year-old boy, and I'm paying attention to everything he was doing. So I would ask him little questions, real shy. And he would tell me what the crossfader was. He would tell me that it worked for, you know, you put it to the left record plays, put it to the right record plays. You know what I'm saying? The simple stuff. Show me the scratch. And my brother wanted to learn how to DJ. So he had equipment that he borrowed from his homie, but he was never around. So I used to sneak into his room in the middle of the day when he was out. And I used to practice the songs because I knew all the records from the radio stations until my mom heard me and she beat my ass, you know. But that's how it started. I used to do it on the DL behind my family's back, and I used to use my brother's equipment. So that's how it officially started when I learned how to DJ.
Wow, that's truly amazing, man. So at 10 years old, you're watching and just learning as much as you can, then, you know, practicing, you know, using your brother's equipment whenever he did, you know, wasn't around. And then eventually you're able to get your first gig after just 4 years of just watching and learning the trade on your own, man. No, that's super amazing, man. And then tell me a little bit about where it went from there. You know, 14-year-old, you did your first party. What happens next? Do you go on to starting, you know, doing more parties, or do you go on to start, you know, recording records? What's the journey for DJ Menu at the age of 14 after you got started?
So in the hood, man, it was all about getting recognized, right? Everything is always about recognition, right? It becomes relevant. So when people started hearing me DJ, I got paid $100. To me, I'm caking, you know what I'm saying? So from there, it was, of course, the Sweet 16s, the Quinceañeras. We had, I don't know if this exists anywhere else, Sexy 17s and Elegant 18s. I was DJing all them parties, you know what I'm saying? So word got around. And then I was DJing block parties every year. So they would have these annual block parties. I'm 15, 16 years old, and I'm DJing these block parties. So everybody would come through from the areas, you know what I'm saying? So there's like 20 blocks. They already knew about the block parties. So that's how I got my name out there. So I was just DJing private parties. But then I went to college. And then obviously I had to choose out of college or becoming an actual professional DJ. So I chose college, but I was still DJ from time to time. And my epiphany actually was when I was 28, when my mom passed away, and I just felt I need to do something with my life. And music has always been my life. And I'm a high school teacher as well. So I was teaching, but I wasn't happy because music wasn't there. And that's when I started grinding. I started DJing in the city in Manhattan. I was only DJing for gas money, real talk. But then word got around, you network, you meet the right people. Man, I've DJed everywhere, man. I even opened up for Mr. Sinister once at Webster Hall. You know what I'm saying? I was DJing, you know, beatboxing championships, you know what I'm saying, at Santos Party House. And it started from the hustle. So it's always about the grind, you know? So that's where I really skyrocketed. It took me years, over 10 years. But it doesn't matter how old you are, man. What matters is the love that you have for the craft. And that's where it started, man.
Nice. That's truthfully amazing, man. And I think that, like, it's a testament to kind of, you know, your grind and your hustle and you making sure that you did whatever you had to do to pursue your passion. You know, you weren't finding fulfillment in just teaching. You know, that music, that passion you had for music and DJing is what really brought you in and you took the courage that you had to really jump in to your passion. So kudos to you for that. I'm super excited to hear, you know, how did you get the name DJ Menu? Like, did you have it from the beginning or kind of something you grew into or someone gave it to you? Like, tell me a little bit about the story about how you got your name.
I think we all of us DJs started off with some dumb names. I had some really dumb names. You're a little kid, you know what I'm saying? You don't know any better. So my older brother, he was a big time rapper in the early 90s. So he would come through and visit after he would go on tour or whatever. And I just needed a name. So we just going over a list of names and he said Menu. And I was like, oh yeah, I like that. But spell it with a Y, I'm going to put two dots on the U because I was always somewhere else. I was never coloring in the lines, you know what I'm saying? So while everybody was learning how to scratch and cut and transform, I wanted to master the blend. So they call me the mashup master. So that's what I do. I learn how to mash up. So I see myself as a chef, you know what I'm saying? So a DJ, that's exactly what DJs do. They grab these ingredients, which are the records, certain breaks, you know what I'm saying? Certain parts of the song, some acapellas, and you create your own concoction and that becomes your entree. You know what I'm saying? So what better name than Menu, you know? So that's how I came up with it. Well, he
now,
did.
That is the dopest analogy of DJing I've heard to date, man. You know,
I appreciate that.
Comparing your name and your craft to a chef and came up with the name Menu. Kudos to your brother, you said, that gave you that name?
My brother's name was Mr. M-Y-S-T-E-R-M-E, man. He was the man back in the days in the 90s.
That's dope, man. And you explained it so beautifully. So that's really dope and super excited to hear more of your story. You know, let's jump back into, you know, 28. You just decided you want to go full-time DJing. You're the teacher, unfulfilled. What happens next? And tell me, like, how your life changed from there when you took that leap into taking the next step in your DJ career.
Man, so I was grinding. People started hearing how I was DJing. I was DJing with this other cat. And the difference between us was that he always had a practice set. And every time he would DJ, he would spin the same thing. Everybody knew already what was next. With me, I never had a set. Real talk, never had a set. Everything was just spontaneous. You study the crowd. And I play every genre. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a reggaeton fan. I'm not country. But if I'm going to get down, I'm going to do it my way. You know what I'm saying? So I would study the crowd. And because of that, people started hollering at me and hiring me to do gigs in their lounges. You know, I DJed an event and it was for a press conference for Twista, you know, a bunch of people, man. And then I even DJed gigs in LA and Florida. And it was because that one person heard how different I was and word got around. So I was a resident DJ at a few spots in the city. I was also promoting bands and rappers because I'm into everything from rock to hip hop to house. So I was promoting at three different venues. And in between the band setting up, I'm the one who would DJ. You know, I was running art gallery events. I was the one who was DJing. I'm part of the beatboxing world as well because I'm a professional beatboxer also. Big ups to my man, Kid Lucky, rest in peace, who's the one that put me on. And I would DJ their events. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm DJing for large crowds, and Rozelle is there, Michael Winslow, you know what I'm saying, like known people all around the world, and I'm the one spinning. So that's where it's gone, you know what I'm saying? I'm still DJing to this day. I actually DJed an event a few months ago for the sister of Adrienne Bailon, who's known everywhere. She's one of the Cheetah Girls. So, you know, I'm still teaching, but my love is music. So I'm still doing it, man, and I'm doing it well.
That's awesome, man. And tell me a little bit about, you know, some of the things that, you know, stand out about your brand and how you DJ. You know, like a lot of people that listen to this podcast are people that are just getting started with their DJ career. Some people are well established and they still want to elevate their DJ, you know, skill set. You know, what are some important elements that DJs need to do to up their craft?
First and foremost, be original. I think there are too many artificially flavored artists out there. You know what I'm saying? And there's too much stevia. You just need to be sugar in the raw. You know what I'm saying? You have to be original. That's the what makes me stand out. That's why I still get gigs, even under a pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't sound like everybody else. So if you sound like everybody else, you're just going to be categorized as, oh, the same DJ as whomever. You know what I'm saying? You want to stand out. Number two, you got to own your craft. You know what I'm saying? I've watched a whole lot of hip-hop documentaries, and there's a documentary called Scratch, which I recommend all DJs watch. And I forgot DJ's name, Turntable his name, and he said, if you want to be a dope-ass DJ, you got to DJ for a year straight and not focus on relationships or nothing. If you want to be an actually great DJ and you want to stand out, own your craft and DJ every single day for an entire year. So those are my suggestions. Number one, definitely be original, because if you sound like everybody else, nobody's going to care about you 2 years from now. If you're only spinning trap, you're only spinning drill, you're not going to exist 2 years from now. You know what I'm saying? So be original and own your craft. You know what I'm saying? So that's my advice.
Yeah, that's dope, man. And one thing that stood out to me is the fact that you kind of separated the fact from being good and skillful as a DJ and networking and building your business. And it's important to understand those both elements. So that way you can't just focus on one side and not the other. You got to make sure that you spend time on both and make sure you know how to operate your business as a DJ, but also have the skill set to perform at a high level. So that way you can build your brand, build your name and get those gigs and be known as an amazing DJ. And it seems like from what I'm hearing in this conversation that you have mastered them both. And I'm super excited that we're here on this call and you're telling us your story about your journey in the DJ industry, man. You know, what's something that kept you motivated through this entire time as being a DJ? What are some things that you just love about being a DJ?
My internal struggles, real talk. You know, when I was going through a whole lot of my personal life and I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody, I could talk to my music. So if I'm DJing, I'm spinning, I'm in a zone. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like Joe in the movie Soul, right? If you've seen Soul, he was in the zone. You know, that was me. So every time I would play a song and I'm blending it, it was like my music was listening to my struggles without saying anything. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, music saved my life, you know? So that's what inspired me. You know, we have conversations, you know? So because of my struggles and not knowing how to handle it, while other cats in my neighborhood would resort to drugs, would resort to blowing it down and drinking and wilding out, man, I resorted to just staying in my room and just locking myself in there and just zoning out on the music. You know what I'm saying? That was my zen. So yeah, it definitely kept me out of the darkness, man. Definitely kept me out of the darkness.
Yeah, man. One thing I love about this conversation is just how genuine you are. Like I can feel the vibe of just how real and genuine you are. And that's something that stands out about you clearly through this conversation, man. And it seems like you learned a lot through this entire journey as a DJ. You know, what are some things that you know now that you wish you knew back then when you were getting started? Some advice to those people that are starting out right now?
Don't ever lose yourself. That's one thing. Sometimes our egos can get in the way, you know? So if some people start sweating you, it's just sweat. You know what I'm saying? It's going to drip off. Don't put your entire ego onto how people react and they start sweating you, because you know what? The same way they're sweating you, they're going to sweat the next person, you know? So what I learned was not to let my ego get in the way, because when that happens, that's when you start losing the love for the music and you start focusing more on the attention, you know? All of us DJs, we get the attention. That's a given, especially when you're thin. But just don't let it get to your head. And I definitely learned that as the years progressed, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and that's one thing interesting that I'm hearing from various DJs about the culture and the environment and the relationship with other DJs. What do you feel the current climate is? And, you know, you could talk about your circle, you could talk about other circles or just the industry in general. Do you feel that there's a lot of support and there's a lot of, you know, teamwork within the DJ industry? Or do you feel that it's pretty divided? You know, people competing against one another? Like, where do you see either right now, in the past, or just any, you know, kind of thoughts about the climate of DJs, you know, and how they interact with their peers?
One thing about me is I'm always keeping 100. I don't ever sugarcoat anything. You know what I'm saying? I don't hold my tongue. I keep it 100 with my family, even with my students. The two problems that I have are, one, you got a lot of fake-ass DJs. I'm just going to put it out there. You got cats that, because they have the software, because they have Serato, and because they have a DJ controller, they swear they can DJ, and all they are is just walking Spotify's. Just because you could play one song and play the next song and it's the ones that are popping, that doesn't make you a DJ. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem that I have. I have a problem with the way modern DJ world is, as opposed to it was back then, where you actually had to go to the store, you had to buy wax, you had to DJ in front of the people, and people are going to be mad critical of your skills. Nowadays, a lot of these youngins don't even know what a real DJ is. They don't want to hear people scratching. They don't want to hear people cutting. They just want to hear the whole song play. They want to be on their phones on Snap, and they're going to recite the songs, you know what I'm saying? And that's it. So I have a problem with that. The second problem I have is, yes, it's very divided, where cats don't support each other like back in the days. Even with hip hop, when cats used to spit bars, they used to shout out other rappers, other producers, and other, you know what I'm saying? Nowadays, now it's all about you, and they be hating on everybody else. And even with some older DJs, I had a great conversation with DJ Jazzy J, who's a pioneer hip hop, and we were both blowing down a Black and Mild, and he was saying the same thing, how even with him, with the tutors that he has, he was even saying how their DJs out now, even old school cats that be hating on others. You know what I'm saying? So that's gonna happen in every profession anyway. You're gonna have the haters, you know. So there's always been a division when it comes to DJing, but you get a lot of love from those who are real genuine too. You know, so those are the two things I have problems with.
Yeah, man, that's tough, man. And it's crazy because you see it happening in multiple industries and in multiple communities, especially with communities of color. Like, what do you think that we need to do to kind of change that paradigm and get people to support one another within these communities? Because, you know, it just really holds everyone back.
I think social media has become a huge problem when it comes to support, right? For example, I tell my students this. If you want to blow up, you know, you put yourself out there in the correct way. Especially nowadays, you know, we have to support each other. You know what I'm saying? But what they do is they follow what the trend is, right? So they'll put people fighting each other, beefing with each other. You know what I'm saying? Being inappropriate, cursing out a woman. And they find it funny. And they find it that if I post it, I'm going to get more notoriety because it's popping. So I think that's a major problem with social media. Creates this persona on people, an image that really doesn't exist. And I think that if we, and I don't mean myself, but I think we in general sense, especially the new generation, was to flip that and start being more genuine and start supporting each other. And let's say, you know what I'm saying, if I drop something and mad people come up and they support what I've done and vice versa, the way hip hop used to be, I think that would be a great step for positive change. But social media, man, has done good things, but it has done a lot of damage when it comes to that too.
Agreed, man. No, it's tough. And I hope things are, you know, getting better, and we have more people like you that are, you know, putting out good word and good mentorship to other people and teaching them the right way to build community and support one another, because that's how we all rise together, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And speaking of current times, you know, right now we're in 2021 and we're deep into this COVID-19 pandemic. How has the pandemic affected you and your DJ career? And what do you think is going to be kind of the future of the industry?
Well, it was tough. It has been tough. I've lost thousands of dollars. I was supposed to DJ a gig in DR the week where all the airports got shut down. So that definitely hurt my pockets. You know what I'm saying? And especially when you live in New York, you know, wife and I, we're trying to build a house, trying to go take it to the next step. And when the pandemic hit, man, yeah, that definitely sidetracked everybody around the world. But as an artist, and I'm, you know, I'm not just speaking as a DJ, but I think just as a performer in general, is affected so many of us. And I think that people like D Nice and so many other artists have really helped change the path of being depressed, right? Of being shut down. So I think that with problems such as the pandemic, I think what it does is it gives us another outlet to not stop what we're doing, but to find a different direction that's still going to cater another audience. And that's the beauty of social networking, right? That's the beauty of social media, where we can go live streaming to a certain degree, because, you know, a lot of us get kicked out depending on what we're playing. But that's how we build that platform as well. You know what I'm saying? There are always ways, man. You know what I'm saying? From struggle comes success. So whatever's going to, you know, whatever setback is going to happen, we find a different direction. We go around it, or we just push through, man. And just find another way to really promote our skills. You know what I'm saying? Our craft. And, you know, we all trying to do it, you know what I'm saying? And it's become popular where, you know, we have Zoom, we have Twitch, we have Instagram and Facebook Live. You know, we find ways to just go away and get away from the struggles of this pandemic. And it's just going to get better after this, man.
100%, man. Like, what you just said is the story of why I created the Club app. Like, I saw the need to where I see thousands of DJs attempting to go on live stream, getting kicked off because there's not the proper music licensing, not making any money because there's no way to monetize. And I decided to build a new platform that solves all these problems, where you can stream and we pay out the royalties for you, and you're able to collect tips and donations right from the viewers of these events. And we're building a community where DJs can earn a living and build audiences on the club. And that's what our mission is, to help DJs build their career. So I'm really excited that we're connected. Definitely want to chat with you more and be able to build with you, support you and all the things that you're doing. And we are now about to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready, brother.
Let's do it. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Oh, well, I have the Pioneer. Well, I have a few things. I have the Pioneer MIDI controller, Serato, my MacBook. That's essentially it for now, you know what I'm saying?
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Wow, I have a bunch of them. Man, I definitely got to go with Jazzy J. I got to go to Executioners, my man Rob Swift, big up. Yeah, definitely the Executioners, Mr. Sinister, Jazzy J, you know, wow, those are the main ones.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Definitely when I DJed at Webster Hall for the American Beatbox Championship, because, you know, my beatboxing mentor and idol, Michael Winslow, was there, you know what I'm saying? So DJ, you know, while he's there, and, you know, he's you know, complimenting me and all, we're just chilling and you're just, you know, shooting the breeze and all that. That was definitely a beautiful feeling, you know what I'm saying? So.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
The most interesting person, definitely Kid Lucky. That guy changed my life in so many ways. He inspired me to take music to a whole other level, you know? So to DJ hip hop and then mix with like Jimi Hendrix, that's my man, Kid Lucky, so.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Getting kicked off. That's the main problem I have right now.
And shout out any DJs you know personally. That story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, man, there's so many people, man. Who can I talk about it? Damn. My man DJ Katat. I shout out my man DJ Katat. That's my dude. When I didn't have speakers, man, I used to rent out his Mackie speakers. You know what I'm saying? That was my dude, DJ, quite a number of times. So definitely my man DJ Katat. I gotta show him love. And also DJ Wawa. You know what I'm saying? We were DJing at the spot called My Haven Bar in the Boogie Down. He's still holding it down. So him and DJ Sabrang Sura, you know, we both DJ house music. So yeah, that's my dude too. So those three.
Awesome. Hope to get them on the show, man. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Man, so I've been doing a lot of private events, but for right now, live streaming. You know what I'm saying? Instagram at DJ Menu. I'm on Facebook as well. All the information will be there. Or you can also check out my website, which is DJMenu.com. You can check out my album. I dropped an album under the Dolly Moon, which is all experimental stuff. And you can definitely check me out on Mixcloud as well. I have about 100 mixes on that site as well. So everything will be on my website.
Awesome, brother, man. This has been a great interview for the My DJ Story podcast. Tremendous story. Super excited to watch you and your journey as it continues. Everyone, you've been listening to DJ Menu, and that's a wrap.
Yo, I appreciate you, brother. Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.